Apostles Church, in the wonderful and mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Jesus Christ died in Calvary for our sins. He died for our sins. As we were just singing the song, I was just overflowing with joy of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. He saved us from our sins. This morning, I've been requested to share the word of God with you. And as I was preparing this message, I remembered the words of Uncle Nidalo when he was preaching on Daniel chapter 4. For those who don't know, we have been going through the book of Daniel. I think we are at the end. So I remembered his words when he said, the book of Daniel, there are two parts to the book of Daniel. There are what seems like the straightforward parts, which is maybe from chapter 1 to 6. And there are more complex parts of the book of Daniel from 7 to 12. And if you were here, you will realize that most of the preachers that came before me preached on chapter 1 to chapter 6. The difficult parts, 7 to 12, who were they left for? But fortunately for me, last week when Uncle Natala was here preaching, I think he made it easier for me because he said, the difficult parts, we will definitely go into them at a later stage. 7 to 12, I think those are the eschatological parts that speak of the end times. So this morning, I will not dwell too much on the difficult parts from 7 to 12. But what I will do is I will give us an overview, just looking back at where we started, Daniel 1 to 6. Then I will just introduce the difficult parts. I will just mention them. And then I will share with you what God has laid in my heart this very morning. Amen. Before we go into it, let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the wonderful and mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I thank you for this opportunity that you've given me this morning, Lord God, to share your word. I pray that Heavenly Father, may you open our ears and open our hearts to receive this message that comes from above. May it shape us. May it transform our lives for the better. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. We began Daniel, the book of Daniel from chapter 1. This book, it begins by introducing four significant characters, namely Hananiah, Daniel, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, these are four Jewish young boys who were carefully selected by King Nebuchadnezzar and taken from their homeland of Jerusalem to Babylon, along with other young wise men who were not mentioned. They are the main characters of the book of Daniel. They were taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, the criteria that was used to select these young boys was that they had to be handsome and they had to be intelligent. Amen. This is King Nebuchadnezzar. This is what he wanted. He wanted a young, intelligent, handsome young boys. And so when they arrived at his court, they are first given new names, their identity. Because he's the king, he needs to change them, to transform them to what he wants them to become. So now Daniel is called Belshazzar, and we have Shadrach, who is called Hananiah, Mishael, who will now be called Meshach, and Azariah, who will now be called Abednego. So it's now Belshazzar, it's Shadrach, it's Meshach, and it's Abednego. They are trained for 3 years on Babylonian customs, and the first thing that Daniel does is to assert his spiritual authority when he gets there. They are given food, you know, and wine to drink because they need to, you know, apparently this food will give them strength and look good. And Daniel, because he knew who he was, he says, don't worry. As you can see in the image there, these four boys, they denied to eat the food and drink the wine that was given to them. And they approached this the chief official called Ashpenaz, and they said to him, they called him aside and said, look, we would like to eat vegetables and drink water. So test us for a couple of days and see if we will not be better than the other wise young men. So because of God's grace, you know, he granted them that favor. And after those 10 days, they were found to be, actually well nourished. They looked better than all the other young men. In fact, they were even found to be 10 times wiser than the other men. So that is, in a nutshell, what Daniel 1 is about. In Daniel chapter 2, this is now where, after the training for 3 years, King Nebuchadnezzar immediately takes them into their practicals. You know, when they're done with their training, he says, he gets a dream, and he calls all the young men. He says, I want all these young men to, you know, I want someone who can tell me what I dreamt, and in fact, tell me what is the interpretation of this dream. So now you can imagine these young men, they're like, this guy, you want us to tell you the dream and to interpret it. Why don't you just give us something, tell us something, at least we'll be able to, you know, to interpret what you have given us. And he says, no, you must tell me the dream and its interpretation. So these men, they're like, Magay, you're kidding me. Like, you're not serious. There's no way, there's no one here who will be able to tell you the dream and even tell you its interpretation. But because the grace of God was upon Daniel, and even during the training, he was developing his skill of the interpretation of dreams. So they called on Daniel, because if Daniel didn't come to their rescue, they were going to be killed. So Daniel comes to the rescue, and he tells the king his dream. So as you can see, what he dreamt was of a statue that had a golden head, it had a chest and arms that are of silver, it had a belly that was of bronze, and its legs were of partly clay and iron. So this is what he saw in his dream. And he wanted to know, what is the interpretation of this dream? So Daniel, in fact, told him exactly that he had dreamt, and he even gave him the interpretation. So the gold head referred to King Nebuchadnezzar himself, and the chest and arms of silver referred to a kingdom that was going to come after him that was inferior, followed by another kingdom that was going to come that is displayed there in bronze. And then the fourth kingdom talks about a divided kingdom. That is why you see the legs are partly of iron and clay. It was going to be a divided kingdom. And in the end, there will be a kingdom that will come, that will be established within these kingdoms, and it will destroy all these other kingdoms. And that will be the kingdom of God. That is the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar saw and its interpretation. In Daniel chapter 3, this was the story, that the famous story that we all know. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken into the fiery furnace. This is simply because, you know, people were jealous of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were 10 times smarter You know, it's as if they knew everything. And you can imagine when you are with someone or working along someone who knows the answers to everything, you will try by all means to eradicate or to move them out of the way. So what happened was the other young men, they came together and they said, if they are found to not be praying to this idol that the king would have set up, they should be thrown into the fiery furnace. So this is what happened. They were summoned because they did not choose to obey Nebuchadnezzar's instructions to pray to an image. So therefore, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. But this is what happened. God, because of the saving power of God, he was with them in the fire and he saved them from the fiery furnace. Not even a single hair was burnt, and not even a smoke was clouded by their clothes. So this is what we learned through the preaching that was done by Uncle Mutombeni the other week. So in Daniel 4 and 5, Nebuchadnezzar's pride, humiliation, and restoration, and also the writing on the wall, these two were done by Uncle Midalo and Uncle John. In chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar had a second dream, as you can see in the image there. He dreamt of a tree, and this tree grew so large that it was seen by the whole earth. This tree provided shade for the animals, and birds found life in the branches of this tree. And people actually ate from this tree. It had fruit. So this is what he saw, and he called on the young men of the king's court, and he said, who can interpret this dream for me? And of course, Daniel, because the power of God was upon him, was able to interpret what this dream meant. And this is what the interpretation was. Of course, he was able to tell him, and he says, what you see there, the tree, this is you, King Nebuchadnezzar. God is saying your kingdom is going to come down from heaven, and he's going to, the tree represents your kingdom, he's going to come down and cut down this tree. And therefore, all the animals under this tree and all the birds that have found life in this tree will be scattered. And what will remain will be the roots in the grass. And these roots will be covered will be tied with a sort of like a bow of bronze. And this is what he meant. He said, you will be wet with the dew, and you will be given to a mental illness. This is what our Uncle Natala said to us last week. So he was given over to a mental illness for 7 years until his mind comes back to him and he remembers and he acknowledges that there is a God in heaven who is above all. So this is what happens in this dream. Daniel, of course, interprets this dream, and after 7 years, his kingdom is restored as the word of God has said it would be. So, what happens in Daniel 5, this is now after King Nebuchadnezzar's reign. His son, Belshazzar, has now taken over. And the first thing that he does, as soon as he enters the court, there's a big celebration. There's a big celebration. All the things that were abandoned, all the things, he's now bringing back the things that they never used to do. And they're having a celebration in this court. They're bringing golden vases. They're drinking from them. And as they're celebrating, he sees the writings on the wall. And he's not able to see. He sees that something is written there, but he's not able to interpret what is written there. So he calls on the young men, the young wise men of the court, and of course they are unable to interpret it. Daniel is then given the opportunity to tell him what he saw. And this is what was written on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, and parson. Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. So simply what happened here, God was telling him that because of his arrogance, his kingdom will be destroyed and someone else will take over. So this is what happened. This was after King Nebuchadnezzar reigned. Yes, Belshazzar, his son, reigned as well. And thereafter, the kingdom was given to the Medes and the Persians. So you can imagine if Daniel lived through all these different kings' reigns, by the time chapter 6 came, this is where he was in the lion's den, he was a pretty old man because he lived through King Nebuchadnezzar, he lived through Belshazzar, he lived through the Medes and the Persians and the Medes. So he was an old man. So what happened when the new king took over? This is what happened. Because Daniel was still given the power of intelligence, or the skill or the wisdom of intelligence, the other young men were afraid. They were still jealous. They still wanted to get rid of him. And they plotted for Daniel to be put in the lion's den. They did the same thing they did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They plotted against him. They came to the king Darius and they said, Darius, there's a guy in your court who refuses to pray to the images that you have set up. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. So they said, this Daniel, if we find anyone that does not pray to the images that you have set up, he should be thrown in the lion's den. So this is what happened, because Daniel, of course, he loved God and he was faithful to God. He did not obey the instructions of praying to the golden image that was set up by the king. And he was thrown into the lion's den. But by the power of God, he was saved from the lion's den. This was what was preached to us by Uncle Mutombe. In fact, he even got sleep. You can imagine that he was able to sleep in this lion's den because God's hand was with him. So what then happened was, when the king Darius, he could not find sleep, he realized, no man, I have to go and check whether this guy is actually dead. And what he found when he got there, he realized that actually something had happened. Daniel was not dead. He was still alive. And this made him to acknowledge that indeed there is a true God who lives. And what he did, he then ordered that all the other men who were plotting against Daniel to be thrown together with their families in the lion's den, and they were devoured. They were devoured by the lions. So what was meant for Daniel did not harm him, but in fact those who plotted against him were the ones who were harmed. Now, from Daniel, this is Daniel 1 to 6, as mentioned, Daniel's 7 to 12 speaks on the eschatology, the end times. But I'll just give a nutshell of what this is all about. So these chapters are a first-person account of Daniel. Daniel is telling us the visions that God has shown him of what will happen in the future. This is in relation to the second coming of Christ. So there will be kingdoms that will rule in this earth, but Christ will come and he will destroy all those kingdoms. And he will set up a kingdom among those kingdoms that will destroy all the other kingdoms, and his kingdom will reign forever. This is what Daniel chapter 7. So in chapter 7, he speaks about the vision of the four beasts and the Ancient of Days. And in chapter 8, this is the vision of the ram and the goat. In chapter 9, Daniel's prayer and confession and the 70 years. In chapter 10, the vision of the jeweled man. In chapter 11, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of man, north and south. And the final chapter speaks about the end. And what will happen in the end is that victory will belong to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. So this is just a recap of that I wanted to give you in case there were those who were not with us from the very beginning. So allow me this morning to share with you what God has laid in my heart. Amen. The message that I'll be sharing with you this morning is titled, "You Are in Exile, But One Day You Will Return Home." Amen. You are in exile, but one day you will return home. So, what is the big picture? What is this all about? Let us look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. It reads as follows. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Then verse 3 said, "Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, as mentioned before, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to each of them, and teach to them literature and language of the Chaldeans." So, as I said, in Daniel chapter 6, when Daniel is thrown into the lion's den, what we see is that Daniel was an old man because he has been through all these other kingdoms. But what's important about Daniel chapter 1 is to understand that Daniel was taken from his homeland of Jerusalem and brought to Babylon. So Daniel was in exile. He was not in his homeland. And despite his great achievements in this foreign land, Daniel, behind the back of his mind, was that one day all this will come to an end and I will return back home. Because mind you, when you are in exile, when you are enslaved, you do what the king tells you to do. You are ordered to do what he says you should do. So despite the food, the wine, and whatever that you'll be drinking, you don't do what you want to do. You live according to the precepts and the rules of the territory that you are within. So that is why Daniel, in the later chapters in 9, he cries out to God. That is the confession that we're talking about in the 7th year. He cries out later to God and says, "God, when will all this end? Because we are in exile. And you said in Jeremiah that one day, this will all last for 70 years, and after 70 years, your kingdom will take over. Why isn't this happening? When will all this end?" So you can imagine the pain and the suffering that they experienced in captivity in the land of Babylon. And mind you, we are mostly told about the four boys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But there were other boys who were with them. And we are not told how they were treated, you know. So you can imagine that pain and suffering that they had to endure. And King Nebuchadnezzar was a brutal king. Mind you, this is someone who, after 3 years of training, instead of, you know, inducting you, he just went straight and said, "Look, tell me what I dreamt and tell me the interpretation. If you are unable to do that, I'll kill you and break you into pieces." This is the King Nebuchadnezzar that we are talking about. So the lingering thought in their minds was that, when will we return home? In Daniel chapter 9, as mentioned, it says, after over 70 years in captivity, you know, Daniel was fed up and he was homesick. He called to God in frustration. Daniel 1, Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. Let us read. It says, in the first year of Darius, son of Sheshes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the dissolution of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So he's crying out to God. He says, God, but as I remember when what you told prophet Jeremiah, this is in Jeremiah 25, 11 to 12, which says, this whole country will become desolate. It will become a wasteland. And these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. But when the 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the kings of Babylon and his nation, the land of the Babylonians, for their guilt, declares the Lord. And I will make it desolate forever. So Daniel is saying, this, I understood that you said 70 years. This will last 70 years. And after 70 years, we will return back to Jerusalem. But this was not God's plan. This was not what God had intended. You see, 70 years to Daniel was not 70 years to God. It had a different meaning to God. So this morning, I proclaim to you, People's Church, that this world that we live in, this fallen world, is not our home. There is a permanent home that we are destined for. And it is not this world that we are living in. 1 John 5 verse 19 says, we know that we are from God. And the world lies in the power of the evil one. As a Christian, you ought to know that there are influences in this world that are not of God. Not everything that we see is of God. Yes, we would like to have a peaceful world, corrupt-free, abuse-free, but this is not the world that we live in. The world we live in is corrupt. The world we live in is filled with abuse, is filled with malice and corruption. But one day, God will end all of this. One day, we will get out of exile and we will go into the promised land. We will go into heaven. Amen. So, then why are we here as Christians if, you know, all this is going to end and one day go to heaven? God has a plan for us in this fallen world. It doesn't matter what you were destined or what gifts you were given. As we saw in the book of Daniel, yes, he was given wisdom. And maybe we have different gifts, we have different skills. This is not what God has given us. But God is able to use us with the skills that he has given us for us to enrich his kingdom here on earth. So we are made with a purpose that even despite the fallen world that we live in, God will use us. He will use us through our skills and through all that he has given us for us to proclaim who he is to this world so that we can bring the godly influence into this world that is filled with evil influences. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It says, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So as Christians, we are not to be occupied with when will this end? When will God When will Jesus come back for the second time and all this pain and suffering, when will it end? As Christians, what we ought to be concerned about is to proclaim Jesus in this fallen world. That is what we are called to do on this earth. So it doesn't matter in what area of expertise you are in. It doesn't matter what skill God has given you. Use it to proclaim God in this fallen world. That is what you are made for. What does this mean for you? God has a purpose. He has a purpose for your life. Within that skill set and within the purpose that is destined for you. And it is important for us to understand that we will not all be blessed with the same kind of skills and gifts, but we all have the same mandate, which is to proclaim Christ in this fallen world. So Daniel, just like Daniel, we want this to all come to an end, but only God knows. Only God knows when all this captivity will end. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 13. So from Daniel 7 to 12, Daniel was really just struggling to understand, why are we being taken through this? When are we going to go home? And so he kept on. If we go on to once we get the opportunity to go through 7 to 12, you will realize that he kept on going to God and asking him in frustration, when will this all end? And this is what God eventually said to him in Daniel 12, verse 13. As for you, Daniel, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allocated inheritance. People's Church, we are in exile, and one day we will go home. This is what this means. We are in exile. We are not here to be comfortable, to live, and to enjoy just this. We are here with a mandate to proclaim Christ in this fallen world. When we have proclaimed Christ, that is when God will decide when all this will end. He has overcome the world. He has overcome the world. If you are a believer, you need to live in this truth. And if you are not a believer, you need to understand that God also has a plan. He has a plan for you as well. And his plan is that may the gospel reach you, so that you may acknowledge that there is a God who lives and therefore who saves. So God wants those who are unbelievers to repent from their sins and to follow him. We can see with King Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, he gave them opportunities because they needed to acknowledge that there is a God. And Nebuchadnezzar finally acknowledged, but Belshazzar did not acknowledge in the end that there is a God. So God has a plan for a believer and an unbeliever. And if you are not a believer this morning and you have not given your life to Christ, all you need to do is confess. All you need to do is acknowledge that there is a God. Repent, and he will be able to save you. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. I remember this scripture from back in 2016 when I was part of a ministry called a Campus Outreach. We, as part of this ministry, we were taken on a trip to KZN. And this was a ministry trip. And on one day, we were taken out to evangelize in the area of KZN, coastal, at the beaches. And This was the verse that was given to us. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And as we were going around preaching this message, we were actually just breaking up this message and explaining to people, what does it mean, the wages of sin? What does it mean when it says the wages of sin is death and the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus? If you're an unbeliever and you are continuing in unrepentant sin, this will lead you to eternal death, eternal separation with God. And if you're a believer, if you've believed in Christ, this will lead you to eternal life with Christ Jesus. And as we're going around preaching this message, there were people who actually were a bit furious with what we were doing. You can imagine you're at a beach and you're there, your umbrellas, you know, sunglasses, put your sunscreen, and there are people going around preaching the gospel. So this lady came up and said, what are you guys doing? Can't you see that we are having fun? Can't you see that we are enjoying life? You are here telling us about God. Hey, God, hey, God, what? We're having fun. Yeah. This is life. We're enjoying life. So this is what happens when we are in this fallen world. If you get caught up in what is happening around you, you will think that, you know, we are here to enjoy. Yes, of course we are, but there is a mandate. And God, when God comes and speaks, he doesn't say, Esh, no, don't go in and tell them today about God. Don't die today, no. Go and tell them tomorrow. Or go and tell them next week. When the Holy Spirit comes, there's no timing. You know, you need to, irrespective of the circumstance, whether you're at a beach, or a plane, you are, if the Holy Spirit comes to you with a message, spread the message. Because as we were at the beach, there were people who were giving their lives to Christ. There were people who were giving their lives to Christ. And this is what it's all about. This is what we are called to do here on earth. So People's Church, this morning, the message that God has given me is that we are not of this world. We are exiled by God in this fallen world to proclaim his name, that people may become saved, that we may live in eternity with Christ. That is what we are called to do. I don't know where your heart is this morning. I don't know whether you are captured by what is happening in this world. Maybe you are frustrated, just like Daniel, and you say, when will all this end? You know, some even come to a point where they're like, because this will not end, I'll take matters into my own hand. I don't know where your heart is this morning. But as a believer, do you believe that all your pains, all your cares, and all that you're worried about are bore by him? Do you believe that? Or are you trying to find something in this world that can give you an ultimate joy, that can give you that ultimate peace? Because let me tell you this morning, you will not find it in this world. This fallen world will pass away. God, Jesus Christ, will come for the second time. He will defeat all the kingdoms that we see. All that you see that may look like success, that may look like nice time, enjoyment, God will come. He will establish a kingdom here on earth that will destroy all the other kingdoms at his appointed time. This will happen. This is what the Bible says. This will happen at his appointed time. So we are not to be concerned about when, you know, how long is it going to take. You know, God spoke to Daniel and said, Daniel, as for you, go your way. Your time will come. You will die. You will rest. And when Jesus Christ comes again, you will be resurrected to spend eternity with God. So if you're a believer this morning, in God's allotted time, like Daniel, we will return home. We will return home. We will no longer feel the pain and the suffering that we endure in this earth. all the cares, all the worries, we will no longer feel them. Because we will return home, we will be in paradise with God in God's allotted time. Where is your heart this morning? Where are you? Are you deep in sin, unrepentant sin, that is? Do you know what that means? Do you know where that is leading you to? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Are you a believer this morning? Do you understand what you are destined for? If you are not a believer this morning, God is calling you. God's free gift is available for you this morning. It's a free gift. There is nothing that you have to do to earn. All you need to do is open your heart. Believe that He exists. Acknowledge that you are a sinful being and He will save you.